Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this astounding future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Man, I'm doing great. Doing great.
We've got a fun show tonight. This is...
Yes, we do. And an interesting person behind the show tonight. We've talked many, many times about Elon Musk on this show, Phil, and on the predecessor show as well. But this is the first time we've ever devoted an entire show to the accomplishments of pretty much any one person. What do you think? Have we ever done that before?
Maybe we have. We've talked, focused on one person's writings or something like that, or some of these contributions to the arts or something. But this is certainly the first time we've talked about Elon Musk, dedicated a whole show to him, and it's way past due. Okay, and
right.
It's a shame it's just a half-hour show, because we could easily do a four-hour show talking about Elon Musk, fascinating guy, a pivotal guy, I think, pivotal person in our unfolding history here, and a fascinating person too. So this is going to be a lot of fun talking about this. And I prefaced this, I think, when I talked about this was coming up, we said it was going to be built around your review of the new Elon Musk book. So if you want,
correct,
to, Stephen, you can give a few words about your thoughts and impressions in the book, and then we'll go back and we'll talk a little bit about the man himself. If you just want to talk a bit about the book first.
Absolutely. Ashley Vance is the author of the new Elon Musk biography, Elon Musk, Tesla, SpaceX, and the Quest for a Fantastic Future. Great book. Let me just start by, it's a great book. I'm not going to try to hide that ball. I'll just come right out and say it. Very, very good. It captures you with the first paragraph. He's interviewing Elon Musk, and Elon Musk turns to him and asks, "Do you think I'm crazy?" and proceeds to prove that he is both crazy as he can be, and maybe the most sane person in the world at the same time. He is clearly out of step with normal people, and that's the secret to his greatness, I think. And the book kind of it kind of explains, it gets into that. And just a fascinating guy. His background is very interesting. Grew up in South Africa. I guess that's really getting into the Elon Musk story itself, which we'll get into in just a second. But suffice it to say, the book itself, the biography, deals with a little bit with the childhood of Elon Musk, his desire to come to the United States, and how in kind of a roundabout way he managed that, and how he and his brother started the first company together, and how each step along the way, it's like you know, he couldn't lose for winning. You know what I'm saying? You've, mm-hmm. you've heard it the other way around. Elon Musk.
Yeah, usually you hear it the other way around. Absolutely.
Yeah, he just and you would think, well, you know, he's the luckiest man in the world. Well, sometimes you make your own luck, and he is an incredibly driven man. And would I want to work for Elon? Wow, Phil, it's one of those things. I've put myself through some trials in my life, going to law school and MBA school and various things, done trials and taken on cases that've been tough. And so the question is, do you want to, would you want to repeat those experiences? Not necessarily. No, I've done that, been there, done that. But, you know, I am the person I am today because of those experiences. I would say that even the people that leave a Musk company, and there are many, we'll get into that in a second too. Even if when they leave just completely furious with Elon, or maybe Elon himself just said, you know, just come into my office, you're fired.
Right.
Even those people look back at those experiences and say, my God, that was some of the most remarkable time of my life. You know, what that crazy man squeezed out of me may be the most creative and productive time of my entire career. And is the book any good? You better believe it. I highly recommend it. It'll be one of those books that you probably should pick up when you have some free time, Phil, because you're not going to want to put it down right away. I think you're going to want to sprint through it and maybe three or four sittings. You know, it's not going to be one that you kind of, read a paragraph or two and put it down. You're going to want to shoot through it. And so,
well, you really got me
yeah.
looking forward to reading it, that's for sure.
It
sounds like it's not just a complete hagiography. It's not just a complete fanboy worship of him. It sounds like he's got a distinctly human side to him as well, and that comes through.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it's the author gets it, explains it. And here's the thing: he wanted Elon Musk's involvement in the book, and Elon Musk is involved in the book. But I mean, he had to court him a long time, and it looked like he was going forward without Elon Musk's involvement. And that meeting where do you think I'm crazy meeting, it was really when they were nailing down that Musk was going to be involved. And Musk has disowned parts of the book. He said, that's not a correct quote. That's not what I said. And this and that, and he's argued with various aspects of it. But I think probably by and large, he's okay with the book. In its entirety, he probably is okay with most of it. So,
well, it's definitely a hot topic. Elon Musk is a hot topic, and when I say that he is a pivotal individual in our world, I really think it's no exaggeration to say that. You know, we've been talking lately on the show about these huge advances in artificial intelligence, and Musk has been in the media lately with his own thoughts about that, both pro and con. But here's another individual who's kind of at the nexus of these big, big changes. I mean, to think about. A man, an American businessman, or any nationality, I mean, somebody living anywhere, but a businessman who's seriously talking about going to Mars, right?
He's talking
about not only flying a spaceship to Mars, but colonizing Mars. And he's not a nut, right? I mean, he's not some fringe character. He's somebody, you look at it and you go, well, if anybody's going to, here's probably the guy who will do it. And that's important. It's important that there be people like that for those kinds of things to happen. So I think you can't overestimate the importance of someone like that at a time like this. But let's back it up. Let's look at the Elon Musk story a little bit. Interesting that he starts out. He's I called him an American, and he is one now. But he doesn't start out in the U.S. And let's dispel one of these Facebook memes that's been going around. Elon Musk. Illegal immigrant, is that right? That's what I've been seeing on Facebook. He's an illegal immigrant who made good, and that's why we should be
open borders.
All immigrants. For him. Yeah, that's right.
Open borders because Elon Musk is an illegal immigrant. No, he was not. He came to to the New World or the North America, by way, you know, first to Canada, where they the Musk family had some people in Canada. And so he came there and worked on his Canadian citizenship and then was able to enroll in an American college. And from there began the process of becoming an American citizen. That was always, you know, from the time he was a little kid, he wanted to come to the United States. That was one of his early goals, and he made it happen, and got over to the United States. So no, he is not an illegal immigrant. He might have overstayed one of his visas. That's probably as close as you can get. You know, he had a student visa that ran out at one point, and he remained in the country while still working towards his citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
That's about as close to an illegal immigrant as he was. And I don't think that, I don't think even Donald Trump would have kicked him out under those circumstances.
Probably not. good to keep him on. So, okay, so
yeah.
He comes to the U.S. by way of Canada, goes to school, and then what? He heads out into the business world, and it all starts with PayPal, or where does it all start?
No, earlier.
Okay.
There was another company before PayPal. It's called Zip2, okay? And he and his brother went together and with, I think it was about $28,000 of family money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They founded a little web software company called Zip2 that they built up and tended, and eventually that was back during the crazy days where you could start a little company like that and get bought out for millions, and that happened. They ended up at the end of the sale of that, he received something like $22 million from the sale of Zip2. Now I'm going to tell you right there. That's the point at which 99% of dot-com millionaires would say, that'd be the last you heard of them. You know, they'd be sipping Mai Tais on a beach somewhere for the rest of their lives. Right?
Well, or even if not that, they become venture capitalists or something. But they've made their big play and they're done, right? I mean,
that's right. And but he wasn't. And his next thing was, what was the next thing? He was involved in a company that it was X.com. Com was an online financial services company that was acquired by Confinity, which had a service called PayPal. And of course, Confinity renamed itself after the acquisition of X.com. Confinity renamed itself after its PayPal service and became PayPal.
Oh, okay.
And so X.com had been bought in by that point, and he was a leader in PayPal, but was pretty quickly forced out of the leadership of PayPal.
That's interesting because you always hear of him as a co-founder of PayPal, but it sounds like it was a going thing actually when he came into it, and then he wasn't there that long. So he had a relationship with PayPal, but.
X.com was a competing service with PayPal, and he co-founded X.com, and when it was acquired by the company that became known as PayPal, I mean, really, it's like saying, Time Warner, I founded Time, you founded Warner, now we're merging, and now who's the founder of the company, Phil? With Warner or me with Time? It's at that point you're considered co-founders, right? So,
sure. Where was Peter Thiel in all this? Was he the founder?
He was involved in the PayPal side of it. I think he was.
Oh,
he came in with Confinity,
and
so when PayPal was bought by eBay, Peter Thiel and became quite wealthy, right? I mean, that was not quite wealthy. We don't have to worry about his next meal at all, and nor do we have to worry about Musk after that. He went from being a mere $22 million to $165 million is what Musk was able to get when PayPal was bought out by eBay. And that was after he was already forced out of the company.
Oh,
He was not even in the company at that point. He was just one of the biggest
sheriffs. He still got $165 million. You know what's funny about that is you and I are old enough to remember when that was a lot of money, right?
$165
$165 million. It's like anymore, somebody gets bought out, and it's always billions anymore. It's like, you know, these companies that get acquired.
$165 million here, $165 million there. Pretty soon you're talking
although
about...
Although we should point out that eBay purchased PayPal for billions, right? It was
$1.5 billion.
Okay, well, yeah, there you go. So
of which...
That was kind of the beginning of the billions.
So you can see how big of a shareholder.
We've taken him through young adulthood, and we got to be mindful of the time here. This show's going to run out on us. So here he is. He's still a very young guy. He's got $165 million in his pocket. Now you go hit the beach, drink a Mai Tai, maybe start a, you know, Elon Musk Foundation or something like that, right?
Because yeah,
done,
maybe you do
right?
that, or maybe you found SpaceX, you know, with the
right.
idea that we're going to Mars, and which is what he did. And you know, he... A lot of people don't realize now that SpaceX is very much a going concern and looks like it's a healthy company and going to do well and going to be a big part of what actually does take us back into space in a big way. I mean, it just, you know, that's sort of conventional wisdom now. I mean, literally the company on more than one occasion was within hours of bankruptcy and not just, you know, Chapter 13, let's reorganize a little bit, but gone bankruptcy. Because
right.
the SpaceX was relying on Musk's personal fortune, and
right.
I mean, you know, founding a major space aerospace venture, you know, like SpaceX, $165 million plus maybe the 22 that you've made before, doesn't go that far. You know, you're talking about the price of one blockbuster movie. You're going to use that money to start an aerospace firm. He managed it. He just managed to will this thing into existence. And you know, I want to get back real quick to what it must be like to work for this man. On a Saturday, late in the day, he's griping because, you know, not enough people are coming in, you know, on weekends anymore. You know, I expect everybody to be here. And, you know, putting in 80, 90-hour weeks, that's just kind of par for the course as a SpaceX engineer. And even the people that love Musk, when their stock options vest, Phil, they're gone usually. You just can't live like that permanently.
It's hard to do that 80, 90 hours a week thing for any period of time.
Young,
excited people can do that for a while. But it's hard for anybody to do it for, you know.
Well, and have any sort of family life at all or anything like that. His personal life, Elon Musk's personal life, has been, interesting as well. It's, there was a time in his early, you know, in his early young adulthood where, you know, he's thinking, you know, I really probably need to have a girlfriend. Let's see if we can build 10 hours into my week towards that goal, you know. that's the kind of guy we're talking about, okay? And he looks to his personal assistant. You think 10 hours, I girlfriend would expect at least that much, right? I mean, trying to judge whether, you know, again, whether, am I crazy or not?
Yeah, you know, somewhere in there. Yeah, that's ballpark, Uh-oh. 10 hours a week, that's amazing. So SpaceX really happens. I mean, we talk about how NASA's day has passed and everything, but really, if NASA hadn't signed on some dotted lines there with SpaceX, they would have gone under, right? It's actually the NASA business that has sustained them up to this point. Or am I
exactly? If it weren't for NASA, SpaceX would have been gone. It's very important to the United States to its own self-image, I think, that it be American rockets that put us out there. You know, this business of renting space on Russian rockets is just not, it's just not in keeping
not
with
right.
us. It's
exactly.
just not right. You know,
it's fine. We have an international space station. It's fine that Russian rockets go there, but American astronauts should not be riding Russian rockets to get there, right? They should be riding American rockets.
And if we don't do things exactly the way the Russians like, they say, you know what, we're not going to give you a ride anymore.
That's right. Well, it's their rocket.
You're going to stay home. That's not right. So we need that capability. And It's remarkable how they've reimagined the whole capsule idea. The astronauts, that look at what SpaceX is producing say it's just an amazing vehicle. You know, down to the tightness of it feels like a Tesla Roadster. You know, when you get in the thing, it's tight. It has a new car smell. They comment on that. You know, I mean, it feels like
Tesla spacecraft. SpaceX spacecraft have the new car smell. Well, that's a good pivot. Let's talk Tesla because we're going to run out of time before we run out of Elon Musk here. Talk about Tesla. When does that come into play? Was it before SpaceX, same time, or how do the two relate?
It was incorporated in 2003, SpaceX 2001. So they are very much contemporaries of each other.
Yep.
And so what they started with was just this idea that, hey, you know, we can make a fast and exciting electric car. Not every electric car needs to put around like a golf cart. We can do better than that.
Right.
And so they got after that idea and went for it. It caught fire, and people were buying these things, on spec basically, or saying, we'll put down $100,000 for the right to buy one when they're available. And that, just the excitement of something like that, that is what allowed that company to get off the ground also. And that's a very unusual model for any car company, isn't it? I mean, that just doesn't happen. So
no, not this century. Uh-uh.
Yeah.
Or not even in the second half of the previous century. It's unheard of. Except for this instance. And what a smart way to do it. I've talked about the Tesla before compared to electric car offerings from the big three or whatever, the European car makers or any of the rest of them. I mean, the big difference, of course, is it's not a hybrid. And it was designed from the ground up, from the most basic design to be an electric car, not an electric version of a gas car or a car that does both. And I think, that made a huge amount of difference, and just the styling of them, making it this beautiful, sleek, fast car. It was a brilliant move. And it's allowed him then to move into these other areas, right? To talk about a family sedan, to talk about an SUV. I mean, to really start looking at taking a serious share of the car market because he went into it the right way. He saw something different when he looked when he said electric car. He meant something very different from what other people were talking about when they were saying America. I don't know why I'm saying American car, electric cars. It took him to a different place. One of his big points in doing that is the environment, right?
Right.
He wants there to be electric cars because he doesn't want to, he's concerned about climate change, and he wants cars not to be spewing hydrocarbons. And so, consistent individual that he is, he's also big in solar power and batteries as well as automobiles, right?
Yeah, exactly. The Tesla Motor Company gets a substantial portion of its profits from the sale of Tesla automobiles, but that's not its only profit center. It sells powertrains to Daimler Chrysler and for its smart EV and to Mercedes and to Toyota for their EVs. They also sell batteries. They got the Gigafactory. The Tesla Gigafactory is the biggest battery factory in the world. It produces batteries for anybody. Okay, that's obviously Tesla needed batteries in quantities that were just not available. So he had to do it. I'm going to become a battery manufacturer because I need it for my car company. But then, I've got excess capacity because I built this thing. Let's undercut everybody else because I've got economies of scale that nobody else is. Nobody else has. I'm building these things in such quantities, and so that's another company of his. Solar City. We need to run these cars off. Where's the electricity come from to run these cars to put electricity in the batteries that we're making? Let's make an electric company. And Solar City is his answer to that. We're going to get our electricity to run these cars, put in our batteries from the sun. So, And so and so Silver City, it's you know, it powers you know, major businesses, but also you know, people can buy you know, solar panels for their own homes and everything from this. So it's you know, that, so that's another venture. And then of course we got to mention Hyperloop. That's sort of an open source idea. You know, let's build something in what amounted to a semi vacuum. You know, to reduce air drag, we're going to put you know, not a complete vacuum, but reduce the amount of air.
Basically, it's a high speed train that connects LA and San Francisco. Is that right? That's the Hyperloop.
Correct.
Or yeah, okay.
And it will travel much faster than. Than and cheaper than any other transportation technology if it works as well as predicted. You know, the thought is that they can even get these trains to go past what would be Mach 1, except there won't be a sonic boom because it's in a vacuum.
Oh,
and
I got to say, of all his things, Hyperloop is the one where he's spreading himself kind of thin, right? If you got to lop off
I don't think he's comfortable any other way, Phil.
Elon Musk limb, though. That would be the one to go. I just, before we finish, because we're almost out of time, I want to read something from I just saw on the Wikipedia page about him, and I didn't know this about him. It's fascinating to me. Musk is a self-described American exceptionalist and nationalist, describing himself as, quote, nauseatingly pro-American. According to Musk, the United States is inarguably the greatest country that has ever existed on Earth, describing it as the greatest force for good of any country that's ever been. Now, Stephen, I just want to ask you, in light of what's been going on the last few weeks, why ain't this guy running for president, huh? Wouldn't that be...
He is no more eligible than Arnold Schwarzenegger, but... that's,
Ted Cruz, some would say, but we won't go
yeah.
there.
Yeah, there's that issue, too. But it's just, you know, why is he... he's too busy, and
he's too busy saving the world. He's too busy taking us to Mars.
Yeah, he's doing far more important work than being president of the United States.
Yeah.
That's the gospel truth right there. But I haven't even mentioned all his companies. He's in December of last year, Phil. He started a nonprofit company, OpenAI, the goal of which is to produce friendly artificial intelligence. He is very concerned. He's very concerned that one of his billionaire buddies, you know, produces a Terminator robot. And I mean, and I'm being a little facetious, but. That is a genuine concern of mine.
He talks about
and,
it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, 30 seconds left, Stephen. You got to sum up Elon Musk. Is he the man who built tomorrow? Is he the Musk who fell to Earth? Is he going to change the world? Is he going to take us to Mars? What do you think?
I think he is the crazy man that's going to do these things. Yes, I'm not going to bet against Elon Musk, and he's just an awesome guy, fascinating. Would hesitate to work for him if you're young, you have the energy, and you're not married and you're brilliant. Go work for this guy and save the world.
Or just get ready. We're all going to work for him eventually, anyhow.
That's right. I for one welcome our Muskian overlord.
Our Muskian overlord, absolutely. Well, let me tell you, talking about him is a breath of fresh air in light of lots of other current events. It's a great story. Thanks for sharing your book review with us, Stephen, and thank you all for being with us. We're going to be back again later this week with another brand new show, and until next time,